Tim, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder, along with our guest, Patrick McDonald, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. And not doing the tours as of yet, right, Patrick? Right. Have they started yet?
They won't start till April.
April.
Yeah.
The warmer weather is a necessity.
But we are doing private tours if you want to do it during the winter. So
these are all the hot spots where films have been filmed in and around Chicago. You take people to those places.
I do.
And you tell little stories about the movies that were made there.
Yes. And it's, love it. It's amazing.
I'm excellent. Doing it. 2018 is my year.
Right.
I've said it for 8 years.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
You got to go.
Has been four.
Patrick, a little while ago, we were talking about Natalie Wood. They claim that there's new evidence and that Robert Wagner, as of this morning, is a person of interest in the death of Natalie Wood. You have some insight, don't you?
Yes, a little. Lana Wood, I interviewed. She was at an autograph show in Chicago about 3 years ago. And she pointed out that Mr. Wagner would not read the galleys of the book she wrote about Natalie, and yet criticized them immensely when the book came out.
I was just saying to Wendy, there's a lot of friction between those two that I don't remember there being when Natalie Wood was alive, but once she passed away, there was nothing but friction between Lana Wood and Robert Wagner.
Exactly. And, you know, that caused a rift in their relationship that was never healed.
Yeah. So, yeah. And she's fallen on some very hard times of late. Do you know that?
I did not know
that. Yeah, she has no money.
She struggles to make ends meet.
Yeah, that's the polite way of saying it.
But we were talking off the air, too, that there were three children involved. There was Kate Wagner that we know, that is Robert Wagner's daughter, with not Natalie Wood. Mm-hmm. Then there's Natasha Gregson Wagner, who I thought was the product of both of them.
I did, too, but that's not the case.
No, just Natalie Wood is her mother, and Gregson, that Natalie Wood was married to, is her father. But Robert Wagner adopted her after Natalie Wood's death.
Okay.
So why would you live with a man you think thought killed your mother? And
that'd
then they did
tough.
Have a daughter together, Corinne or something, that I've never even heard of.
And they were married more than once.
Yeah, they
to
were
each
married
other.
In the 60s. Then she married this Gregson guy, and then they remarried. Oh. I remember that being in the news.
Yeah.
And everybody thought, you know, he was so good with, who was Stephanie Powers, was his.
From heart to heart.
Yeah. I thought he was cheating on Natalie with her.
No, it's just a character he was playing.
And then Jill St. John did actually help him get over the death of Natalie Wood, who looked kind of like Stephanie Powers. It was kind of a whole weird thing.
Well, also, Stephanie Powers lost Bill Holden very close to when, I think it was 6 weeks apart.
Oh, was it that close?
When Bill Holden took the header on the edge of a table and bled to death in his hotel room.
Okay, that sounds weird, too. I know when you're drunk, you know, sometimes things can happen. That was the rumor. I know your head bleeds very quickly. I know that's how Ernie Kovacs died in an accident.
Really?
You got in an accident.
In a car accident, right?
Yeah, and your head bleeds profusely, first of all, and add being drunk to that, you know.
Drinking is awful. This, Wendy, is actually more of an intervention. Patrick and I don't even have a setup for the show. We just were trying to help you. Please.
But wait, so he dies hitting his head on a table that somebody could have pushed him. She dies after falling off a boat, perhaps, that somebody could have pushed her.
Right.
Interesting.
And Robert Wagner was within yards of all these people on their death, Patrick. I don't like it.
I'm blaming walking.
He may have been involved. We don't know.
It's a strange thing.
All right.
Sure.
Keep us up to date on what's happening with Woody Allen and his latest film. It may not be released.
Exactly.
Now, right?
Well, this comes down to Amazon Studios, who thought they had gotten a coup by signing Allen to a multi-year deal to distribute his films.
Yeah.
And the latest is A Rainy Day in New York, and this is the one that had a cast that was almost an all-star cast that came out against Allen once, of course, the allegations arose again.
Yeah.
So it was Timothy Chalamet, who was in every movie last year, Selena Gomez, Rebecca Hall, and Griffin Newman all donated their salary to the new Me Too movement, or the Never Again. What is that? Which one is that? But anyway, but they all donated their salaries and denied that, said that they would never work with Allen again. Now the studio is saying they're not going to release the film, a la Louis C.K.
Same thing happened with Louis C.K. And this is eating quite a sum of money, because making a movie is a very expensive proposition.
Yes.
So for a film company to say, we've spent all this money and you're not going to see the product, that says a lot.
Well, you know,
it?
All the marketing is in place.
Sure.
All the posters have been printed, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they have to eat it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, in the case of Louis C.K., they sent us the screeners before the...
Oh, so you saw that movie.
I saw that movie.
Yeah.
And I actually liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was a very interesting statement on... being rich in show business.
Will at some point when all the furor dies down,
yeah.
Will it be available, or will they just
Louis C.K. bought it back from the distributor. He now owns, he's the sole proprietor and owner of that movie, I Love You Daddy.
Yeah.
And most likely, I think he will release it on his website like he does his stand-up. And, you know, for $3 you can download it or
right.
whatever. And, then it might see the light of day that way. I think Louis C.K. might be the first one that gets rehabilitated.
Yeah, me too.
He's going to take a lot of time, you know, in exile, and
right.
then he's going to emerge because he did cop to it.
Yeah.
And
he, of all the people that have been implicated in this, I think mm-hmm. he'll be the first one
yeah.
to come back in some way, shape, or form. Here's what's interesting to me anyway. The two people that are standing up for Woody Allen the most right now are Diane Keaton.
Yeah,
who he was romantically
that.
Involved with for years, and I think was
Alec Baldwin.
And Alec Baldwin's
but
the
a
other.
Woman sticking up for him was what was surprising
to
me.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, and there's a generational divide there too. We see all the young actors going with the flow of what's happening right now, and the older actors who have a more intimate relationship with Alan are sticking with him.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
that sense, so. There are two people who know what happened, and they are both on the opposite sides of the fence.
Woody Allen, for years and years and years, has made a movie a year. That's
yes.
his pacing on films.
Mm-hmm.
Is he releases a movie
Precisely.
A year. All right, so with all that's gone on with him of late with this, is that streak about to come to an end?
The other rumor is he cannot cast his latest film, his in-development film. You know, he always has a script in back of the movie that he has produced. And... if he cannot get the thing with Alan, the reason that he was able to keep getting financing and keep getting distribution is everybody wanted to work with him.
Of course.
You know, it's like, yeah. you know, American Fellini. He's alive.
Right.
I can put that on my resume, you know, Justin Timberlake being the last example with Wonder Wheel. And that's what made him attractive for Amazon Studios. And now that he is, you know, being exiled, that's not going to be attractive. They'll probably break the contract, and then he'll be done.
The movie you just mentioned, Wonder Wheel, I remember seeing previews for it several months ago, and I don't remember it ever being released. Did they ever release it?
It was released to theaters.
Yeah.
It was a very limited release. It got skewered by the critics. I'm not one of them. I thought it was a very interesting film, very nostalgic film set in Coney Island,
mm-hmm.
and just a... The usual Alan, you know, tragedy, comedy sort of stuff.
Right.
And I thought Timberlake was good. It's hard. It's the art versus the artist thing. Versus the personality of the artist. I mean, Frank Sinatra was not a great guy personally, but people love his music.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you draw the line at separating? But I think these are very different times.
I have never been the biggest Woody Allen fan.
No.
It just didn't click for me.
Yeah, I understand. There's a lot of people who aren't. And, you know, I don't know. He's one of the guys that really helped me to love movies when Annie Hall came out.
I'm with
when I was
you.
In college. And,
this
and
has been very difficult because my wife and
difficult.
I boycotted his films for about 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
We stayed away, and then we came back grudgingly, and now I'm stuck. I wanted to see Wonder Wheel very badly, and, you know.
A.O. Scott has an interesting editorial in the New York Times, plugging another critic, but why not? He has a little essay that he wrote yesterday that I would recommend people reading if they're on the fence.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think there's a double standard in terms of James Franco being called out for what he's alleged to have done with
mm-hmm.
women? And Gary Oldman has been celebrated. Gary Oldman had a horrible, horrible incident with his wife years ago,
yeah.
An assault charge incident where he attacked her with a telephone. Why is that all but forgotten? Why are people just not looking at this as being as horrible as anything James Franco has done?
Well, it's perhaps a personal domestic issue versus a overriding you know, sexual assault issue with Franco. I don't know.
It is kind of a different situation.
I mean, you know, it's like that's
neither right
a couple. Neither, yeah. No, neither.
Yeah,
correct.
I don't mean to say,
but
one.
You know, levels of what we get involved in as the public, I guess, would
right
be the aspect there.
So, just the mere knowledge of this, he got nominated. Franco did not get nominated,
right?
But Gary Oldman not only got nominated, but was odds-on favorite to win for Best Actor. Do you
yes
think there will be enough rumblings from people going, well, this story is not a good one. It doesn't make us look good.
I
so
still think Oldman's going to take
gonna
the
win
gold, yeah. He's one of those guys that have been around for a while, noted
yeah
to be a really consummate actor. And that's what's driving his award season right now. Now, whether these... You brought up these allegations. I haven't seen those in the headlines, but are they emerging in the headlines?
They have. They've been there lingering for a while.
How long ago did this happen?
Oh, decades ago.
Yeah,
that's another thing.
And then, and Alan's thing happened decades ago, but Dylan Farrell took the opportunity to go out and bring it to the public again.
Right. So. Let's take a quick break, and then more with Patrick McDonald. If you want to call in or text in, 312-981-7200 is the way to go.
Such a pleasure to see Patrick McDonald.
Isn't it nice to see him?
Oh, thank you.
It's nice
thank
to see you,
you,
Patrick.
It's great to see everybody.
Patrick
Happy
McDonald
New
is Happy New Year to you, Patrick. He's film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. It's right there on your computer, HollywoodChicago.com. And on Twitter, UberCritic, is that correct?
Yes, at UberCritic.
That's
yes
the best way to reach you.
All right.
So a couple of weeks till the Academy Awards. All the
yeah
nominations were given out last yep week. Was there a snub or two that most offends you? Who was left off the list? Who should have been nominated that wasn't?
For Best Actress, I just saw a film, a foreign language film called In the Fade.
Mm-hmm.
And Diane Kruger is the, she's an actress.
German
sort of,
actress.
Yeah, German actress who's also an international actress. She did Inglourious Basterds here. Can you say that in the air? And some other American films, not mm-hmm in high level parts, but you know.
She does those movies with Nicolas Cage where he's trying to find
right
a map of something to
exactly
find a treasure all the time. Right?
Exactly. So
yeah
she did this film called In the Fade, which was about a terrorist incident in Germany. It's fictional. And really contemporary as far as our attitudes towards these incidences. And she plays the victim of the terrorist act in the sense that her husband and child were killed. And she does such an amazing job of creating those emotions that would flow through you in a circumstance like that.
Yeah.
All the way to, it's such a journey and an arc that the character takes. And that was a big one. Plus the snub of In the Fade for foreign language film, because it won the Golden Globe as
yeah
best. And that was a tremendous leave out for me. So.
What about Tom Hanks on The Post? Everybody says that he,
yeah,
if Tom Hanks makes a movie, he should be nominated.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, with The Post, I thought that Streep definitely deserved her nomination.
Yeah.
But there, I don't know if it was a comparison of Jason Robards as Ben Bradley and All the President's Men, but I just thought he was good,
mm-hmm,
but it wasn't, it was more, he was playing more an ensemble character rather than the character.
Right.
Wait till he plays Mr. Rogers.
Yeah,
that's
going to
be
amazing. That's
awesome.
Gold, baby. Gold,
I can't
Jerry.
Wait. They couldn't have picked a more perfect actor.
To play
yeah
Fred Rogers.
Yeah.
Who will play Captain Kangaroo when they make that into a movie?
I believe you're going to be Mr. McFeely. Speedy delivery. Speedy
delivery.
I would love
that. I would love that.
I'm going to be Trolley.
Between that and the Ernie Kovacs reference, we're hoping the
yeah
40 and under crowd are still
They're still
us
here. Don't worry. Everybody's still here. All right. Let's talk about films that are coming out this week. And
yes,
I know you're a huge champion of foreign films. You
yes
want to
I
talk
am
about one or two, right?
Yes. One of the foreign language films that are up for the Oscar is called The Insult. And this is really something. It is a film set in Beirut. And it is about a, you know, the ongoing situation between the Palestinians and the Christian sect there. And it starts with an insult in the street between a construction worker and the person whose building he's working on. And it escalates into an international incident.
Mm.
Wow.
A true story,
a trial,
or not a true story?
Not a true story. In fact, the filmmakers put a disclaimer up before the film starts that this reflects the views of the screenwriters and in no way reflects the government. So It's crazy. It's a wild film.
The Insult.
Yeah, The Insult.
Not in wide release, I'm guessing. It's
no,
a foreign film.
No, so. It probably will play the AMC down here. Check your local listings. I didn't write down where it's playing.
Right. We'll find it.
Valzante is playing at the Music Box. This is one of the Music Box films. Do you know that the Music Box has started a company to distribute high-level films in the United States?
Yes. I didn't know that.
And they actually won an Oscar for the foreign language film that came out a couple years ago about the woman who went into a nunnery. I wish I could remember the name of it. I have to write these things down. But anyway, Music Box Films is a subsidiary of the Music Box Theater, and it's been very, very successful.
Good.
And Vizante is their latest find. It is a Brazilian film. It is set in 1821, and it's really a story about the clash between a slave runner and his slaves. And it's really a stark, a kind of beautiful movie, a reminder of Terrence Malick, very meditative. So
that could be a really good thing or a really awful thing. You know that, right?
Right, right. And it has
The Little
both
Hours,
elements.
Was that the name of the movie? The Little Hours?
About the nunnery?
No, that was last year.
Is it And Then There Were Nunnery? Is that the name of it?
Sorry, I was just trying to help.
Well, that was from last year, yeah. That was, but that didn't go anywhere.
The Innocents?
See, here's what happens when I don't see, that I have seen too many movies. And
don't
my
worry.
Memory for them, but Bill's the other memory is much sharper than ours.
Was it Anne Fontaine's provocative nun drama, The Innocents?
No.
Okay. No, that's not it either.
I would look up
Music Box Films.
I did.
Oh, wow.
And I got none.
Oh, nothing in there.
Wow.
Right. And then the other movie, the other big release that's coming out this weekend is Winchester with Helen Mirren, but this was not screened for
critics. This was not screened for critics, but it has a provocative story. I mean, Sarah Winchester, she inherited $20 million in 1881. What would you think that would be today?
Oh, considerably
a
more.
Half billion.
Yeah, about that.
A half billion. And plus, she had 50% of the company, so she got the equivalent of $25,000 a day for the rest of her life. There is money in firearms, my friend.
I guess there is.
So anyway, she decides to build this rambling mansion in San Jose, California.
And this is a true, that part is
this
a true
is
story.
Absolutely true. Yeah. And she had interests in mediums and the supernatural. So, you know, this became something that obsessed her. And she also thought that maybe the spirits of the people killed by the Winchester product were haunting these halls. And I guess this house is just still, it's on the National Historic Registry.
Yeah.
It was partially destroyed by the 1906 earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be seven stories. Now it's down to four, but apparently it's a house of horror.
A lot
and
of
fun.
Strange, yes. Unexplained things.
So it makes for a provocative movie subject.
Is it Ida?
Yes.
Ida.
Okay.
We have a winner. Stop your calls. We have a winner. Patrick, great to see you. Thanks so much. It's Patrick McDonald, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. We'll talk to Steve next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Awesome.